call the meeting to order now, please.
Start off with the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, can I get approval of agenda, please?
I'll move.
Second.
Right, and then we go into the approval of.
We're going to say all those in favor, and we're going to make sure that everybody agrees.
I'm sorry, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, that motion carries. Can I get approval of minutes for Harbor, please? All those in favor?
Actually, I need a motion to order, so.
Okay, motion.
So move.
I'll second.
All right, now, all those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Do we go into approval of all three of them?
So all those were in favor, so that's done. So now we're going to take a motion for Pacific's minutes.
All right, a motion for Pacific minutes.
I'd like to make a motion.
And do I have a second?
I second.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
All right, last one here, guys. Can I get a motion for the Vista approval minutes?
I'll move.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right, that carries as well. Consent agendas. Can I get a motion for the consent agenda approval of warrants?
So moved.
I'll second.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 All right, that moves as well.
We're doing good. We're doing great.
Does somebody do something there? Okay.
No, so the consent agenda, just to remind you, all of the attachments are in there for your review, and it's just one motion per charter, so there's no separate.
So we're going to do all three of them. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So all right. Now, approved. A motion for the Pacific consent agendas as well, please.
Yeah, I'll motion for consent of the Pacific agenda.
All right. Can I get a second?
I second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right, that passes as well. Motion for consent agenda for Vista.
So moved.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right, moving on to community relations. Any public comments?
Anybody looks public? So nobody gave me any cards, and I have a chat going here to see if I have anybody out at the site, and it doesn't seem anybody turned any cards there either. So I don't.
Okay, so we're good with that?
Yep.
All right, we're going to move on to the superintendent's report then. The Harbor superintendent's report, can I get a motion for that?
We actually got just information.
Yes,
so
okay.
So we don't need motions here, but
okay,
Catherine can give you her presentation for all three.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay. So I, it's been a normally busy, crazy time since the last meeting, and I wanted to point out a couple of things. One, we had a A-plus basically executive summit. We hosted it here at the Springs Plaza. We invited all the executive directors, superintendents of other charter networks from across the state of California, and we sat and spoke, we sort of brainstormed about how we were going to deal with AB 5, AB 1505, and AB 1507 in terms of the limitations and restrictions it puts upon use of vendors. That's a big credentialing already is non-classroom based and independent study. We have carve-outs and protections under law for independent study that everybody pretty much agrees. You know, like I said, everybody agreeing is great, but everybody agreeing in writing and regulation is better. And that's the problem that we all had. Everybody agreed that we should be able to have these resource centers, but now they have not agreed to. You know what I mean? They've taken it back because it was never actually written in regulation. It was assumed. So this is why we're kind of trying to get in front of, be proactive. Now that the laws have passed, we now have to try to figure out how we're going to live with them and in an ethical and but still a way that we can get our needs met for our homeschool programs, because homeschool is going to be the hardest hit by the vendors if we have any restrictions on vendors, which we know we will have restrictions on some vendors. Basically, the upshot is if it's something that the school is supposed to provide, we're supposed to provide it with our own staff instead of getting vendors to provide that. So, especially when it comes to core, this is the biggest issue is around learning centers or core education that homeschoolers often might go to a vendor to get a few hours of this or a few hours of that. It's one thing if it's horse riding or ice skating or something like that, where it's not a typical thing that the school itself provides. But if it's math or English, we could have some problems. And so we're trying to figure out how. You know, we're really trying to dig into the language and then talk to all of our resource people so that we can get ahead of it and get a proposal, basically, that to make to the powers that be that are making these decisions. Because we're afraid if we just sit back and just keep business as usual and wait for them to come up with a plan, we're not going to like the plan that they come up with. So anyway, so that was the A-Plus day. And in addition to that, we just had Friday, we had our Luau day, which was, it's our makeup orientation, new employee orientation. If they missed our August Aloha week, they get a Luau day. They just get in one day. And we had over 100 people. It was amazing. So that was cool. Yeah. It was great. At the event center. And on the same day, we were having professional development for our teachers and our other staff. And so Vivian and I did the morning with the Luau folks, and then I hightailed it over to the Student Center, and I spent the afternoon training the kinder through second grade teachers on the components of English Language Arts with Nicole Haynes, who's our K-8 English Language Arts Specialist, and asking for their feedback on, so this is what we think guided reading should look like. What are you doing in the field? What resources are you using to do your guided reading? This kind of thing. Because we're trying to figure out how best to help so that we can meet our BHAG of having, and remember what a BHAG is? And so we need our BHAG of having all of our fourth graders proficient readers. So there are components that, because we are a charter school and we don't do a set curriculum and we don't have everybody on the same page on the same day and that kind of thing, what that means is we have inconsistencies. Some teachers are just better literacy teachers than others. And so we need to make sure that all of our teachers know what the components are, because there's so many of them. English Language Arts is not simple. It's got a lot of aspects. So anyway, that was fun. And because do you know how many kinder through second grade teachers we have in the academies? Just academy kinder through second grade teachers?
200.
No. Oh, no. Sorry. So now you're not going to be that excited. We have 57.
Okay, still
so
excited.
57. But I was surprised because I expected, oh, I were going to meet with all of our kinder through second grade teachers. I thought, oh, we'd have 20, 25. But it was 57. So anyway, okay, so I guess, should I just do any updates about Pacific and Vista?
Can I ask a question first about the financial impact of the vendor issue? Is there any sort of project, for example, you're saying that instead of using a third-party vendor, we now have to bring those resources in-house?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? So there should be some level of financial impact of that on the organization, right?
Yeah, but it's still so early days yet to I can't give you the exact financial impact, but keep in mind, we're in such much better shape than most non-classroom-based charters are. because most of the ones that were sitting around the table with me have one center and have children in all the contiguous counties, mm-hmm. and or they have no centers. So they are using the they are using vendors that they are not, you know, that they don't run with employees that are not theirs. They're using vendors in place of centers. And we don't need to do that because we have centers. So so for us, I feel like what we might be doing is using our centers better, you know, beefing up the offerings and the diversity of offerings at our centers in order to help. And then that would reduce the costs, the vendor, the use of vendors all the way around, except for electives. And
well, like the mobile science lab, yeah. We have something like that, isn't that
that's
third
not
party?
A vendor.
It's not.
That's,
it's not.
That's us.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like I said, in most cases, I think we're in pretty good shape. But yes, you're right. These things will impact, especially smaller schools. This is where it positions us in a much better position because we have the bandwidth to provide an online writing vendor. Instead of having to hire one from outside, we could actually do it with our own staff. If other small charters just don't have that kind of ability. So I'm not worried about it. But we do have to get ahead of it or else somebody else is going to make decisions for us. And you don't like to do it. We don't like to let them do that. Did you want to say something?
Yeah, I did. So in this situation, the other thing that is impacting us and across the state of California is AB 5, which you've probably heard a lot about in the news, which is people no longer being able to be sole proprietors. They have to have a business license.
Right.
And about 40% of our vendors are sole proprietors that the homeschool folks are using. So that's something else. Kathleen, myself, Vivian, and Lisa Kaur from Young Mentoring Corps had a conference call 2 weeks ago to talk to her, and we're kind of the first charter like starting to ask these really deep questions of what does AB 5 mean, what is, and then of course we have AB 1505 and AB 1507 in charter world, but across California AB 5 is also an issue for people without business licenses. So we're working through all this, and we're happy again to say that we're kind of paving the way and finding some of these answers, along with what they're talking about at A-Plus and with Jeff Rice and all this, and trying to work through what does this actually mean in terms of serving our families. But Kathleen's absolutely correct, because I was talking to another charter leader, and they were like, we don't have centers like you guys do. Like, we don't know, like, what we're going to be able to offer. And so I just wanted to kind of piggyback on that a little bit, that as that's a statewide issue you're hearing about for AB 5, that's also hitting us a little bit as well on that side of it, but not quite as much as the AB 1505 and 1507.
So, Amy, is that basically the 1099?
Yep.
One? Okay. So I have an understanding, so, like, with my law office, if I hire a paralegal, they can't 1099 them anymore.
Correct.
Because it's something we can do.
Yeah.
But doesn't pertain to things like with your vendors, like horseback riding lessons. That's not something we can bring in our classroom to do.
Correct.
So they could, as long as it's not something that we could do,
no,
they have to have a business license. And most of our vendors do, but there is a big chunk that do not. You know, it's somebody who teaches piano lessons or something like that.
So I don't want to open up, you know, a lot of it, but the point is that across the state, you know, you're hearing about this AB 5 and this issue, which, as we know, really started with the Uber and Lyft thing. But I want you guys to be aware, particularly because you are San Diego and you have Harbor and kind of kids, you know, all over, and whether there's a center or not. We're keeping a close eye on that. And when we asked legal counsel this, Lisa Kaur said, you're the first one to ask. We need to really dig into this and tell our other charters too what to do, because it is tricky. So I was actually just going through the vendor list this morning and kind of looking through our sole proprietors to see what we could do. And then, of course, there's the big thing to overturn AB5, so we'll see if that happens as well.
And the area that we have other concern that we're watching very closely is related to special education providers that we use, because those are independent contractors. So
mm-hmm.
we're monitoring that. What I learned at the SELPA meeting yesterday is they're currently, meaning the legislature,
didn't think about the unintended consequences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I know. Yeah, of course.
They were thinking about Uber drivers. They weren't thinking about.
So it's creating an uproar in the special education community. So what they're going to do, supposedly, is go back and revisit the language in a particular amendment. But it's really only going to address a very narrow definition within special education providers, like speech language. Mm-hmm. It isn't necessarily going to be a blanket address. So we're going to have to really watch it and see how that impacts us and make plans accordingly.
Are we advising them to, like, open up LLCs, or how are we dealing with it? Because as of January 1st, it's in, like, whatever, right? It's active. So how are we dealing with it today?
We can't really advise other businesses what to do.
Well, we have not determined how we are moving ahead yet. So we keep in mind nobody's prepared for this.
Yeah.
Nobody was prepared for any of these things.
My business wasn't prepared.
In terms of, you know, you never know what's going to pass. Mm-hmm. Then when it passes and then it goes into effect, there's always a little period of adjustment. So the expectation is it's going to take us a little while to figure out what this means. But we are definitely going to follow what we think is the safest thing for our school, while it's still good for our families.
Right.
Families, you know, I mean, but ultimately, you know, it is tricky when it comes to special ed. Special ed is the biggest area where we have the most contractors and where we have the most need. It's like but special ed, the needs of the special ed student trump any kind of law that the state comes mm-hmm. up with that has nothing to do with special ed. I mean, it's federal laws for special ed. So it always, the special ed needs come first, even if it has to be contractors, even if it breaks the California law of contractors. Can't get speech providers. We need to contract for them. You know, we can't get them as our employees, and we need the service. We're going to get the service. So, anyway, it's just because I remember we've had a number of instances. Amy can tell you, we've had a number of instances where the state law is in direct, in some cases, two state laws are in direct opposition to each other.
Yeah.
Or the state law is in direct opposition to the federal law. And in those cases, you know, it's always about the best interest of the children, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so if I move on to Pacific.
Yes, you can. So we don't need an action or anything.
No, that's right. So we'll just move to Pacific. Pacific's the same report, except I just wanted to tell you that I went and took a visit to Otay. And walked the facility with Alyssa and Rhea, the vice principal. Sad to tell you that Rhea has been offered a principal job at her old charter school, where they closed down, and then the district decided they were going to reopen it, and they called her up and offered her principal job. So she took it, which she should, because it was a great opportunity. But we're sad to lose her. So. She is going. It's a bad timing because Alyssa, you know, is close to maternity leave, and so our principal will be out. So is coming. So right now she's hurrying and posting and trying to get another vice principal to come in so that she'll have coverage while she's out on maternity leave. But everything is running very smoothly there. And she is not planning on taking a major amount of leave. This is her third child. She wants to get back to work. Leave the mess at home. Literally. So anyway, so that's everything's going well. We're, you know, getting ready for renewal for Pacific. Remember, Pacific is only a 3-year charter, and so next year is the beginning of the third year. And so we will be submitting in fall, and then, you know, hoping to get our renewal in before Christmas, or right around, if not before Christmas, in January. So anyway, so that's what we're hoping for. So we're fingers crossed. I mean, everything seems to be in good position for our achievements. The kids' iReady scores are trending well, so we hope that we're going to get a good year of data this spring, good set of data this spring from our CASP testing to help with our renewal.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Regarding the renewal, is there a specific target for their score we need to reach for it to be renewed?
No, but I would say, keep in mind, Pacific had pretty good scores this year, but not quite as good as the school district. But we don't just pull from Chula Vista School District. We also pull from
San Ysidro.
San Ysidro, remember,
stay down there.
So, when it comes to looking at pre and post test of our, you know, the incoming test diagnostic and the end of the year diagnostic, we're seeing, you know, a year and a half growth for all the kids on average. So we know we're making good progress with the kids. What we definitely want to see an increase in proficiency over last year's scores. And so they've been working very hard. But this is Alyssa's first year as principal there. She was the vice principal. Now she's principal. So it's always hard when you get a new principal. So usually, if you look at the research, the achievement does not. It stays the same and goes down the first year of a new principal. I'm hoping that is not going to be the same for us because we need to get renewed. So I'm happy with what I see there. I see a lot of on-task students, focused teachers, you know, happy children. You know, there's not a lot of chaos anywhere. It's just, you know. So I'm thinking that we're in good position. So anyway, so that's for Pacific. And then if we move to Vista, same report, except one other thing to note is we did get our visit from the state at Vista. You know, Vista is approved by the state of California. So we get oversight by a liaison from the CDE. His name is Craig Heinbichner, and he came down and visited and gave us an unqualified review. You know, he said it was great. He loved his time. We got an A+.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. That warms the cockles of Tanya, so Tanya doesn't play anything for the
very good. I can't
help that. So anyway, so that's it. Unless you have questions for me.
On Vista, are we having any luck getting more students this school year? What are we doing for our advertising for that school? And
well, we are working on it. We have been working on advertising. We are in a number of different, we've done a number of different marketing campaigns out there. We are at the crossroads of launching some more targeted events and activities to try to get enrollment for fall. This is not a good time of the year to get enrollment for this year. And our enrollment window for fall opens March 1st. So, yeah.
Any more questions? No? All right, then we'll move on to the LCAP mid-year update.
This is just an information item, so Amy can go ahead and vote.
Michelle. I'm actually getting on the floor over to Catherine Van Loon, my director, as we work on the LCAP together, but I'll let her present.
Excellent. Hi. Amy and I are working, like she said, on the LCAP year-round, so we included a few things that you might be interested about in the presentation, and the first is our annual cycle of continuous improvement, and so this is just to kind of remind you guys that you might only see our LCAP or local control accountability plan once a year. Or I guess twice with this mid-year update. But But it is something that we are continuously working on and keeping in the forefront of all of our planning. You can see training to staff and communication out to stakeholders, how everything's going. So this is our mid-year update that we wanted to let you know that we have collaborated with the other departments in the school to find out how they're doing, and is the progress on the goals looking like it should be done by the end of the year. And it is. I think about a third of them are already fully completed, and then the rest are projected to be finished by the end of the school year. So we'll take those updates and then include them on our LCAP this year, along with any data that is pertinent to the 8 state priorities and the progress that we're making on those goals. And then this year will be a little bit different for you guys just because the template is new. The LCAP's on a 3-year cycle, which is going to be ending at the end of this school year. So the LCAP that you see in June will be a little bit finished up of the previous template. We do the state split it up this year, so it's an annual update on our prior year's template, and for the coming year is going to be a new template for 3 years from now. So there's a little bit more information in there, but did you guys have any other questions about that process?
Good.
All right. By the way, one thing just to note, last year, exactly this time, Vista Springs had 143 children. This year, as of today, 205.
That's good.
So, I mean, that has been an increase. So,
yep.
Even though, of course, we would love it to be 250. Yeah, but it's still good.
Is that sort of, that's the target range, right? 255 is what you're...
No, I think it's 400.
400,
I don't know. I mean, we would like it to be... That center can take, I would say, 350 kids at any one time. So, you know, we want more.
For sure.
But, you know, you can't be overnight, you know.
Well, we're growing. That's what counts.
That's true. That's what counts.
Is there anything different for Pacific or Vista?
No, all the schools are progressing along in the same manner, so they're all expected to have all their goals completed by the end of the year. So the report is the same for all three.
Excellent. All right, then moving on to the Harbor School Accountability Report Card, also Amy.
Yes. So the School Accountability Report Card is something that Catherine and myself and a team work on. This is a mandated compliance item, which is done by all the schools across the state of California. And the School Accountability Report Card, we just wanted to let you know, was completed and posted by the deadline. And this is just an information item with the link, so you guys can go view the School Accountability Report Cards for Harbor, Pacific, and Vista, if you would like to, at your leisure. We are pleased with how everything turned out, and all the data and everything looks great. So everything is moving along quite well for all three schools.
So these were each information items. We don't need motions, you know, individual motions, so that information can be the same for all three.
Okay.
Whereas when we get into action items, I will need to have us talk about each one separately. Okay.
Perfect. All right.
Any questions about the SAR?
No, then let's move.
It's pretty straightforward. Okay.
We'll move on then to the National School Lunch Program, Tanya.
Yes, well, as you know, that was a requirement to have in place this year for a child. Any time a child is at a location for more than 2 hours of an educational activity, we were doing it before, which we're happy to say. Harbor, wherever a child is, whether it's Cherry Valley or a homeschool event that's more than 2 hours, learning center, they are being fed. Pacific, what's great about Pacific is it's obviously a site, so they're having meals delivered. They have a shelf stable breakfast option delivered to them every single day. And they're doing great. We're working on planning additional meal options for next year, potential hot meal option or lunch option as well. And for Vista, they, of course, participated last year. They have shelf-stable breakfast served every morning, and they have hot lunch delivered every day. So they are an item to note, our director of nutrition is considered to be an expert in the area of delivering the NSLP program, particularly for charters, but the state, they call Holly and they have questions. So they've asked her to participate in a statewide task force in order to find ways to promote and increase participation with school lunch programs. So it's really exciting. And the last item to note, the favorite meal of the kiddos is pizza dippers.
Of course.
Seven chains. We have a square pizza from the man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
they have
roll
the hippers.
Now they roll the pizza.
And they're frozen. That's messy.
So, Tonya, there is no criteria then for it's everyone gets for lunch?
No, it depends. If they're participating in what's called the Community Eligibility Provision, it's called CEP, then they can participate in that. Right now, they have to be serving breakfast and lunch, and it has to be a certain demographic. Now, the free and reduced percentages need to meet a certain level, and we can work it in and massage the numbers. We're trying to get VISTA in that mixture so that they can be a part of it, because VISTA is an adopted site by River. It's very complicated. They're really not their own entity for this purpose. They've adopted, we've adopted VISTA. So we're working those numbers to see if we can fit them in, and if that's the case, then every child would eat breakfast and lunch for free, regardless of economic.
But as of right now, it's free and reduced, though, right?
Free and reduced and paid. Originally, we thought we would have a higher free and reduced population of this stuff, but we really don't. It's actually lower than Rivers, which is interesting. So we're trying to massage the numbers, because again, it's a very small population, so we can move it in into a different cohort with the River, and then they can purchase even that.
And if they don't qualify for free and reduced, they can purchase a lunch, right?
Absolutely. And if a child doesn't qualify for free lunch, they have a reduced account, or they have even a full paid meal, if they don't have money when they go there, they don't get the nasty sack lunch with the peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
They eat just like everyone else does, and then we tactfully inform the parents. I was just using that as
okay. Well,
so I mean, that's one of the lunch shaming that a lot of people are concerned over. Not only that against the law in California, but we would not be able to practice that anyway. So children eat if they need to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they left their lunch at home, they're gonna, and they don't have money, right?
They'll
they
eat.
Still eat, and then
we worry about the funds later.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's different than when I was in school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's hard to focus on anything after lunch if you're hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you have to still learn another 3 hours.
It's not going to be
good.
This is a good program.
Yeah.
I like it.
And the food's pretty good. I tried it.
Where are the lunches range from when they buy them? What, like,
there's a number.
Price range?
$2 to $3, $4, $5.
The whole price meal is going to run, it's a little bit different for elementary versus secondary. It's going to run right around upper threes to fours. But again, if they don't qualify, then that, in theory, isn't a problem. Unless they are having an issue where they forgot their meal or forgot their money or something of that nature. But free is obviously free. And reduced for lunch, I believe, is right around 68 cents.
Oh,
wow.
Okay. And those prices are established by law.
Okay. Perfect.
All
right. Are we finished? Yes.
Awesome.
All right, so I guess now we need a motion, right, to move on to the action item, which is the approval of revised board policy.
And so this motion right now will be for VISTA.
For VISTA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can I get a motion?
I'll move.
A second.
Okay.
All right, and all approved or all?
Well, let's be sure. Let's see if you have any questions about it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions?
This is Amy's policy.
Okay, so really quick, this is only for VISTA Springs, and the reason that is the only program in your purview that has a seat-based, that is the only program in your purview that is seat-based, which is the dual immersion at VISTA. So all the other programs that you have are independent study programs, and this one is. We actually don't get the attendance unless the child is there in the seat. So the only change to this policy is that one word is that they have to move, instead of having to be gone for 5 days to do independent study, they only need to be gone for 1 day. The difference is that we have to know prior to them being gone for them to be able to sign a student agreement and get the work assigned.
So this isn't like making up work after they've been absent. This has to be prior to them being absent. And the reason we can do this is twofold. Number one is the whole charter, even if Vista Springs, the charter petition is an independent study charter, even though it has a seat-based program component. And the second thing is charter schools cannot do Saturday school to make up for attendance. So we are allowed to do one day instead of the typical five. So since this might get us a little bit more ADA, and be better to make sure that the kids are getting their assignments prior to them missing school, if possible, we thought this was a good change in policy and wanted to get it started as soon as we could.
This isn't a kid has the flu. This is a kid is going to go on vacation for a week, right?
Possibly. If they have the flu and the mom goes in that morning and gets the work for the next 5 days, that will work. What won't work is if they have the flu, they're out 5 days, they come back, and then we give them makeup work. We can't do that. We'll lose this.
Well, we can't do it.
We'll make up the work, but
yeah.
We won't get attention.
Yeah, yeah. We just don't get the ADA.
Very focused on the ADA.
Yeah.
The child will do the work. Yeah, that's
proactively communicating that to the parents.
Yeah,
we are going to as soon as this policy is in place. It was the 5 days, and we were actively communicating that. Now that it's one day, it's going to be a little change in culture. So it might take us a little while to get it moving, which is another reason why I wanted to get started this year, particularly instead of waiting. Mm-hmm. So we can kind of get them going on it this year and then next year kind of really do that. Because, again, you know, the child getting the work beforehand, if they can do the work. I mean, if, you know, they're hospitalized or something, obviously that's a different story. So.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's great. All right. So I guess all approved?
All those in favor?
All those in favor? Sorry.
Aye.
Aye. All right, motion carries. Moving on to the second reading of approval of Harbor by Tanya of the BP4015.1, whatever that is.
Correct, so can I get a motion?
Can I get a motion, please?
So moved.
A second.
All right, all those, oh, sorry.
Okay, this is the policy that I brought forward for their first initial reading back in December. It's the other post-employment benefit policy, meaning the health care benefits for a maximum of 2 years. The only difference that you see today from what you saw in December is there was a discrepancy on the actual policy that said 63 years old, but the executive summary said 62. So I've changed in the policy to 62, so that's consistent. All the other terms are the same.
Do we have anybody qualified for
that? We have one person that could meet that qualification. We expect as our workforce continues to mature, we'll have more individuals that would be eligible if they should so desire, but it's pretty strict criteria in order to hit that point.
Mm-hmm. Any more questions?
It's the same for all three schools too, right?
Sorry?
It's the same for all three boards.
Absolutely, because we make every effort to make those options consistent throughout the network.
So yes, the policy would be the same, but just because we have to turn in motions for minutes to our authorizers, we will take separate motions for each one. The description and the explanation is the same.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Motion carries. Moving on to VISTA, second reading and approval of BTP4015.1 by Tanya.
So moved.
All right.
Exactly the same as I just indicated. Do you have any questions?
Any questions? No? All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Motion carries. Moving on to next is going to be the... did we do
Pacific?
I think we may have skipped Pacific. All right, Pacific, second reading and approval of BP4015.1 by Tanya. All right, can I get a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, who was my second?
I second.
Okay, great. Same as earlier presented.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, motion carries again. Next up is Harbor, approval of... I'm going to call it SPED contracts.
Special education.
Yeah. All right. Led by Tanya.
Move.
Can you motion?
So move.
Second. I'll second that.
All right.
Okay. If you recall, last June, we presented the preliminary budget, brought special education contracts forward to you, with a new internal control process that we put in place to monitor and to really grasp what costs they were spending.
This is different than many other contracts in that they don't necessarily know what the future holds. It's not for a complete project, but we know the exact price. So in putting that not to exceed amount that we did, we were able to ascertain when they were running out of money. So based on stabilizing the population, knowing what those specific students need, as well as dealing with higher independent contractor rates and whatnot, our special education team has come back and indicated that they need certain amounts of additional funds to pay not only for additional funds that they incurred already that they can't pay because it exceeds the contract, but to make sure that there's enough funding available in these certain categories to serve the students that just require through the end of June. So for Harbor, that total of $86,387 in three particular contractors. And what we have done as a team, and you'll learn more about this in your closed session, is that we've gone through and we've identified cuts to where this is basically a wash within the budget. But the contract policy requires, again, that we bring it forward to you.
That $86,387 is a single contractor?
Three contracts.
Okay.
Three contracts, and the very next page after the executive summary has them listed.
I should probably scroll down and read this.
So what's the specialized CRP services? That's the big number.
Yeah, that's actually one of our contractors who provides very specific services. What do they do?
Specialized
therapy. Specifically, do they do a whole range of specialized school psychs, SLPs, teachers, a whole range. So sometimes when we have a student that's maybe very remote, we might contract with a vendor that's closer logistically to the student. So they do all kinds of things.
So what kind of therapy? Is that the physical therapy or
whatever? It could be physical therapy. It could be mental health services. It could be whatever is written in that by the student's IEP. So they do all range of services.
Do we get extra funding for these special?
We do receive a certain amount of funding from the state and the federal government, but it's never enough to meet the needs of this particular area. Since I've been here 5 years now, I've never seen us in a situation where we have spent less than the money we receive specifically for special education. So there's always additional money that's being spent, and that's kind of the norm. So we're waiting with bated breath until the state government decides to fund special ed.
Yes, I do see we have a big percentage of the special ed kids, and then we're going to, so we're spending a lot of money.
Correct. So those are factors that have to be taken into account any time that we're going through and planning the budget, you know, because we have the privilege of serving our students regardless of what their needs are and making sure that we're meeting those needs, and we do our best to make sure that we're fitting that in within the whole program overall.
But correct me if I'm wrong, isn't this where we excel, right, over the public schools? Like, isn't our special ed demographic performing quite well, actually, improving well compared to, or am I making this up?
No, you're right, but you're right in isolated. I mean, it's not like across the board.
Okay.
But several of our centers' programs are doing fantastic work with special ed demographic. But then the question becomes, is that because of the special ed services they're being provided or because of the general ed program, which is specialized and personalized to the child? So I would say it's a combination of factors. But it doesn't matter. We are required by law. It doesn't matter whether the special ed services help the child's academics or not. We're required by law to give them. See what I'm saying? So we have to. We do not. You know, our real purpose though is to look at how can we give those services and provide the best education possible to all the students. You know, at the same time, there are creative ways that we can use these special resources that we're getting to really improve education for the special ed kids as well as other kids. Because it does encroach on the general fund. It does up to the tune of about $1,000 a kid less. It can be that high. And that's a lot of money. So that's why it's 10%. of the money that comes in for the kids. So anyway.
And, you know, and that's an average, too, because we have some kiddos that could cost literally $80,000, depending on if they need a special non-public school. And some kiddos could cost, you know, $1,000. So it's making sure that we're meeting those needs in whatever that best option is for the child.
Okay. Any more questions? All right. And all those in favor? All right, that motion carries as well. Now we're going to do the same thing for Pacific. Can I get a motion for the approval of special education contracts for Pacific?
I move.
All right, can we get a second?
Second.
Okay, same thing. And for Pacific, that total was $40,146. And that was, again, the specialized to total education solutions, which is they provide individuals that function as teachers. And EMH
sports,
which is for
adaptive PE. All right, any questions? No? Then all those in favor?
Aye.
All right, motion carries. Moving on to VISTA approval of special education contracts. Can I get a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, for VISTA, the total increase for VISTA is $37,808. Equals to over six contracts, ProCare, which is again a temporary staffing agency, Staff Rehab, a temporary staffing agency, Specialized Therapy, as discussed previously, Total Education Solutions, and Presence Learning, which they provide certain types of therapy as well.
What is the Staff Rehab?
It's a temporary staffing agency, so let's say we're short a special education teacher, we can contact them and they can assign someone to serve that need of that student or that group of students until we can either hire someone in that capacity or shift around our current caseload.
Any more questions? No? All right. And all those in favor? All
right.
All right, motion carries. Moving on to community relations. Any board comments? No? I have a comment. Thank you guys for, this is my first time doing this, and thank you for being patient with me.
You're doing great.
All right, thank you. Future agenda item requests. Anybody? No? All right, then I guess we're going to move on to closed session.
We are. So if you give us just a minute, let's take a 5-minute recess or something so I can change our recording and we can.
Are we moving?
Yeah, we can move into the other room. That might be good.
Do we need a motion to do that or we can?
No.
Okay. All right. Good session.
We're back in open session at 6:35 and the board reviewed the employee dismissal report and there is no action to report.
Okay, so motion to dismiss.
So moved.
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
All right, thank you so much. We are dismissed at 6:35.
Thank you.